message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Well, as of this past June, I've been pastor here at Concordia for 4 years now. Time flies when you're having fun. Now, you've heard me teach and preach about many things. And if you know me at all by now, you are aware that mission and evangelism are very important to me. Now, even though I rejoice in being able to nurture those of you who come here on a regular basis, I also have a deep passion for bringing the truth of God's Word to those who have strayed from Christ, and especially to those who have never believed in Christ at all. During these past 4 years, you have heard me stress the importance of Concordia's members getting involved in our mission. And one way you can do that is by speaking the gospel message to others when God gives you the opportunity to do that. But of course, I'll have to admit, talking to people about repentance and forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name can be very scary for various reasons. And one of the reasons it's scary to witness to people is that we're never sure what the outcome is going to be. For example, sometimes I will speak to people about their need for repentance and faith in Jesus, and the result is that they will humble themselves, they will confess their sins, they will trust in Jesus, and they might even ask me to teach them more about God's Word. On the other hand, sometimes I will speak the exact same message about repentance of sin and faith in Jesus, and the result is that sometimes people will ignore me, other times they will mock me, and worse yet, they might even hate me or despise me. You see, some people don't like to be told that they are sinners who need to trust in Jesus for salvation. Today's sermon will deal with this issue of evangelism. In fact, today's sermon is the ninth in my 18-part sermon series in the book of Acts. That means we're halfway through my sermon series. Now, obviously, this sermon series does not cover every part of the book of Acts. If I were to do that, I'd have to preach more than 18 sermons. However, I have done my best to give you some of the highlights of the book of Acts, and then apply those highlights to our lives today as believers in Jesus Christ. So, if you've not done so already, I would highly encourage you to read the entire book of Acts on your own. You could probably do it in an evening if you dedicated that time to it. Not only would this help you to get more out of the sermon series, but you would also notice some very interesting details when you read through the book of Acts. For example, if you read through the book of Acts, you will learn very quickly that mission and evangelism is the work of God. We are merely His instruments. Let me say that again. When you read through the book of Acts, you learn that mission work and evangelism is the work of God. We are merely His instruments. As you read through the book of Acts, you will discover that the apostles and the other Christians are simply not in control. They can't predict where and when they will have opportunities to preach God's word, nor can they control how people are going to respond to their message of repentance and forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name. For example, if you read through the book of Acts, you will discover that in one place, the believers will preach the gospel, and the result is that many people will repent and believe in Jesus. However, the same believers will then preach the same gospel in another place, and the result is that people will either ignore them or mock them or maybe even try to kill them. Simply put, if the Holy Spirit does not convict people of sin, and if the Holy Spirit does not give them faith in Jesus, then nothing we do can make them believe the gospel that we proclaim to them. Therefore, today's sermon title is The Spirit's Mission in Macedonia. Now, if you look at the very beginning of today's reading, Acts 16, verses 6 through 8, you will notice that the Holy Spirit is in control of where and when the Apostle Paul and his companions will preach God's word. For example, we're told that they were traveling through the region of Phrygia and Galatia because the Holy Spirit had prevented them from preaching the word in Asia. And later on, we're told that they tried to do mission work in Mysia, but the Spirit would not allow them to go there either. Now, why didn't the Holy Spirit allow them to preach God's word in those places? I mean, weren't there people there who needed to hear God's word? Of course there were. But we must remember that God decides where and when people will hear his word. God is in control of his mission. We are merely his instruments. Now, this fact is both cause for repentance as well as cause for relief. First, let me address why this fact is cause for repentance. It's cause for repentance because sometimes we foolishly try to manipulate the results of evangelism. And the most tempting way to do this is by preaching what people want to hear. I mean, let's face it, the message of repentance of sins and forgiveness in Jesus' name doesn't sit very well with people in our culture. People don't want to hear that they are sinners who need to repent of various thoughts and words and behaviors. Therefore, if we want the church to grow, we're tempted to forsake God's gospel and replace it with a product that will appeal to the consumer. Now, this tactic works very well for business strategy. For instance, I think Burger King was very smart when years ago they came up with the slogan, "Have it your way." You see, if you want to come up with a plan that will please your customers, then you know that plan has to include giving them what they want. That's smart business. But we're guilty of serious sin if we apply that same secular business strategy to the church's mission and evangelism. Sadly, there are many churches today that promote a have-it-your-way approach to mission work. They tell people what they want to hear. And some of these churches are growing by leaps and bounds. But do they have God's blessing? No. Sadly, when we try to manipulate the growth of Christ Church by telling people what they want to hear, we are then forgetting that the Holy Spirit is in control of mission work and we are merely his instruments. We are called to speak God's truth in love and leave the results up to the Holy Spirit. Now, just as the fact that the Holy Spirit is in control of mission work leads us to repentance, this same fact can also give us much needed relief. For example, maybe you do your best to speak God's word faithfully and lovingly when God gives you opportunities. Maybe you can think of occasions when you have tried to speak God's truth and love to somebody, but either they ignore you or get mad at you or even throw it back in your face. Or maybe a congregation does their best to be faithful to God's word and lovingly share that word with their community. But they get results that are very minimal or maybe none whatsoever. When things like this happen, we can become discouraged and think that we must be doing something wrong. We end up hating ourselves and maybe even decide to throw in the towel. But that's when we need to receive the relief that comes from knowing that the Holy Spirit is in control of our mission work. In other words, it's the Holy Spirit's job to change people's hearts. And he does this where and when he pleases. We are merely his instruments. You see, my friends, God never called us to be successful. He simply called us to be faithful. and we are to leave the results up to Him. In fact, those first Christians we read about in the book of Acts had to remember this. I mean, there were times when they preached God's word faithfully and lovingly, but the result was that people made fun of them and even tried to kill them. Now, I'm sure that they would have given up trying to be witnesses for Jesus if God had not reminded them that mission work is the job of the Holy Spirit. Again, we're merely His instruments. We can't control the results. And again, remember, God has not called us to be successful. He's called us to be faithful. And that's a relief. With that said, let's take a brief look at the rest of our text for today. In Acts 16, verse 9, we're told that God gives the Apostle Paul a vision of a man in Macedonia asking him to come and preach God's word there. Now, what did Paul and his companions expect to experience in Macedonia? They didn't have a clue. I mean, once again, what was their experience? Sometimes God would lead them to preach His word in some places, and the result was that many people would repent and trust in Jesus. But other times, God would lead them to preach His word in certain other places, and the result is that people would reject them and even persecute them. Nevertheless, even though they didn't know what to expect in Macedonia, they trusted God, and they journeyed there and preached His word. Now, to make a long story short, they end up in a city of Macedonia known as Philippi. Now, at this point, it was Paul's common practice to bring the gospel to the Jews first, because the Jews knew the Old Testament scriptures, which had been fulfilled in Christ. And if they would be converted, they would be great, mature Christians to continue mission work in that area. However, there were not many Jews in Philippi. We know this because Paul did not go to a synagogue. You see, in order to have a synagogue, you had to have a minimum amount of Jewish men, one of whom had to have enough education to read the scriptures and preach on them. Now, if there were not enough Jewish men, or no men at all, to form a synagogue, then the few Jews that were in that area would establish what was called a place of prayer, where they would meet every Sabbath. Well, according to Acts 16, verse 13, there was such a place of prayer for the few Jews who lived in Philippi. In fact, from our reading, we find out that all the Jews there were women. Now, you would think that it would have made more sense for Paul to go to a city with a huge population of Jews with whom he could preach God's word. But remember, this is the Holy Spirit's mission. God doesn't do things our way. The Holy Spirit led Paul to the city of Philippi in Macedonia. So Paul and his companions end up at this place of prayer in Philippi, and they speak about Jesus to the Jewish women who were gathered there. Now, one of the Jewish women was named Lydia. And please don't miss what our reading says about her. Remember what it said? The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. Did you hear that? The Lord opened her heart. Simply put, we speak God's truth and love, but God is the one who opens hearts. Now, at first, there seems to be some wonderful success. Everything seems to be going well. I mean, Lydia and her whole family come to faith in Jesus. Praise the Lord. But as the story goes on, we find out that Paul and his companions end up in trouble. The trouble starts when Paul casts a demon out of a local woman. Now, you would think that when the people of Philippi saw this, that Paul, in Jesus' name, had authority over demons, you would think that would have moved them to repent and trust in Jesus. but it didn't. Instead, they reject the gospel, and they arrange for Paul and his companions to be thrown into prison. Now, you need to understand something about the prisons back then. The prisons back then were not the comfortable modern prisons we have today with three meals and air conditioning and cable TV. No. First, Paul and his friend Silas were brutally beaten. In fact, back then, flogging usually resulted in open wounds, bleeding profusely. Then they were thrown into a dark, damp prison, chained hand and foot to a filthy, cold stone floor. Now, I don't know about you, but if I were in that situation, I would have been tempted to give up this whole mission and evangelism thing. In fact, I might have become a bit angry with God for letting that happen to me. I wouldn't be surprised if Paul and Silas had those feelings inside. But by the power of the Holy Spirit, they kept their focus on Jesus. In fact, what was the result? While they were in prison, Paul and Silas ended up praying out loud and singing hymns to God out loud. And guess what? God takes a seemingly hopeless situation and he works it out for good. First, we're told that the other prisoners were listening to Paul and Silas while they were praying and singing hymns out loud. Do you see what's happening? The Spirit is doing mission work in a Philippian prison. Next, a miracle happens. God looses their chains and opens the doors of the prison. Now at this point, the prison guard gets ready to kill himself because he assumes that all the prisoners have escaped. And you need to know back then, if you're a prison guard and the prisoners escape on your watch, the penalty you have to face is a very slow, painful, torturous death. And so this prison guard, assuming that all his prisoners are gone, decides to take the easy way out and kill himself quickly. But before he can do that, the Apostle Paul shouts out, "Don't harm yourself! We're all here!" Now at this point, the prison guard, whom I'm sure had heard Paul and Silas' prayers as well as their hymns, this prison guard falls on his knees and he says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Now please understand, he was not talking about how he could be saved from physical death. Because remember, Paul and Silas and all the other prisoners were still there, so the guard had nothing to worry about. Instead, the prison guard had heard their prayers, he had heard their hymns, and he concluded that he needed to be saved from something worse than physical death. He needed to be saved from his sins and eternity in hell. So Paul and Silas said to him, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your whole family." And you know the rest of the story. Now, what do we learn from this? First of all, we learn that the Spirit's mission continues today. Even though one of the reasons Concordia Lutheran Church exists is so that our members might be nurtured in their faith, and that's important. We all need to come to church on a regular basis. We all need to come to Bible class on a regular basis so that we can be nurtured in our faith, because without that, the devil will tempt us to stray away and become apathetic about the things of God. So that's an important purpose for Concordia, to nurture God's people who already believe and to allow them to grow in God's Word on a regular basis. But that's not the only reason we're here. Our congregation is here also because the Spirit's mission continues today. My friends, right here in Jamestown, There are people who maybe knew the Lord at one time but have since strayed away from the faith. There are also people here in Jamestown who don't know the Lord at all, who have never believed in Him. I've met some of them. We have mission work to do right here. And God, in His ways, has placed us here to be His missionaries. So we are to speak God's word faithfully and lovingly in this community. But we must remember, we're not in control. We are to leave the results up to the Holy Spirit. Now, as we faithfully and lovingly proclaim God's word in our community, we need to remember that in some cases, people may repent and believe in Jesus and become fellow brothers and sisters in Christ with us. On the other hand, there might be others who will ignore us or even mock us and maybe even despise us. Nevertheless, we remember that God has not called us to be successful. Instead, He has simply called us to be faithful. And as we speak God's word faithfully and lovingly, we can trust that we are in God's hands, whatever the circumstances, and that He will work out every situation for our good. So when you leave today, remember that the reason you're here is that the Holy Spirit used somebody to bring you to faith in Jesus. And the Holy Spirit will continue His mission in this world by working through you to bring His good news about Jesus to others. Amen. Now may the peace of Christ, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.